This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing of Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to the final Sports Saturday of July. And Terry, I know that you always, usually in a normal Illinois summer, you like to play, was it Winter Wonderland?
Yeah.
Or some sort of Christmas tune.
And I did that, two and a half weeks ago.
Okay, you did do it.
I did do it on what I thought would be the hottest day of the year up to this point. It was like 97, 98 that day, and I always play Winter Wonderland, and I did get it played. And then all of a sudden, it turned great.
It worked.
I mean, it's crazy. And I, you know, we've been reading this forecast all week long. And I'm going, my gosh, the last weekend of July, it's going to be in the 70s?
It's weird to be on the air like yesterday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and it was like 72 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, last year was 110 at that hour. That's the hottest point of the day.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was 71 degrees. So we finally got our spring. We got it.
Yeah,
a little late, but it showed up.
Well.
Better late than never.
So Ralph, you going to get the crops in?
And down on the farm, Tim, we wouldn't mind having a little precipitation.
Not at all.
That's coming Monday night.
I got a little bit last night.
Yeah, I got a little bit last
night.
About 2 tenths. We didn't get anything last night.
But Monday
night. I don't know where it came from. But
yeah, Monday looks pretty good.
Yeah, Monday looks pretty good. So, whoa.
A tone.
Yeah. That's right.
I haven't heard a special report from NBC.
I guess so. I haven't heard a tone for a while. Oh, I know what that was. One of the weekly addresses
is coming down the
NBC News Network.
Yes, okay.
Always lots of things going on at the old radio
station.
Too many
buttons.
A lot of buttons.
A lot of buttons.
Don't push the red button.
That's right.
Wait, no, they're all red. Now what do we do?
Red button.
Wasn't that a line from War Games? Don't push that button. War Games with Matthew Broderick and the dreaded Ali Sheedy,
yeah.
You know, when they went on that tour, like he was on the tour.
Man, I haven't seen that movie in
ages. It's been 20 years.
Ages, man. Wow. You know, it seems
Ferris Bueller?
Ferris Bueller. It seems like it's been ages since we've actually had a Cardinal game on AM 1540,
but
we will, in fact, have Cardinal baseball for you today from Atlanta, live at 1:10 on AM 1540.
What an interesting stretch of baseball Cardinals have coming up with the Braves and the Pirates and the Reds.
If they come out of this trip still holding the best record in the National League, that will be very impressive, because this is, to date, the toughest stretch. Maybe the toughest stretch in terms of games on the road they've had in a couple of years.
A distinct possibility, yes. Mm-hmm. Although, every trip to the West Coast, to me, is a difficult trip. It just always turns out to be that way, and I don't know why. And they've been successful a lot of times, but it's just a tough road trip.
There's usually good teams out there that has something to do with it, but you're right. Yeah. But I think, though, the five-game series in Pittsburgh is kind of what makes this trip stand out a little bit.
But isn't that fun?
Oh, it is. You can either put Pittsburgh away, or Pittsburgh can make their move, or who knows, maybe it'll wind up basically being a wash, but it'll be five huge games.
Could end up just being, as you said, Tim, status quo. Win a couple, lose a couple.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm kind of curious how Pittsburgh's going to react. They lost that heartbreaker in Washington, and now their closer, Grilly, he's out for
14 days.
Now it's 48 weeks.
This morning the story was revised.
It changed again.
They changed it back to 2 weeks. I'm going, gee, these guys must be talking to the Cardinal doctors.
Exactly. this is very similar to Jason Mott.
Yeah.
And you hear it all the time with these pitchers. It's usually in spring training, little forearm tightness, just a couple of weeks, we'll shut them down. More times than not, there's some sort of ligament tear in the elbow. So if Jason Grilly's back in 2 weeks, I will be surprised.
Should rest the arm 10 to 14 days.
Huh. Yeah, because just last night it was 48 weeks.
Yeah. So.
Got to love modern medicine.
Hey.
Good relief pitching is so important, and especially the last half of the season.
Well, for the power relief pitching is really, you know, Mojica has done a great job, but he's not that overpowering guy that pounds a ball, but he's smart enough to know how to use his fastball and his breaking pitch.
Right, and you know, sometimes when you come in following a guy who's throwing 100, your stuff looks a little bit better because it can keep guys off balance a little bit more. But the Pirates, you wonder, if they start to slide a little bit here coming up, will they think back to the last couple years when they really fell off in the second half? So that's going to be – we think it's a big series for the Cardinals of Pittsburgh. That is really the season for the Pirates, that five-game series.
How many times do we – when we talk about girls basketball, always refer to Southwestern. Well, everybody thinks Southwestern's going to have it down here. No, they're Southwestern. So until somebody takes it away from them, until somebody takes it away from the Cardinals, I'm not a believer in Pittsburgh. And until the Pirates do it. They've just had so many opportunities the last 2 years, and they folded their tent. And
for anybody,
show me the money.
Money's the key. If anybody who says that Pittsburgh's going to do it, put your money where your mouth's at. Go down to Vegas and lay it down. If you believe in the Pittsburgh Pirates, go show it. But
I don't.
I hate to say it.
I wouldn't bet Tobin's paycheck on the Pirates to win the division.
Oh my!
I hate to say it because Donnie Downs might be listening, but I think the Reds will make a harder push on the Cardinals than Pittsburgh will.
It could end up that way. The Reds got a lot of injuries.
Yeah, they're banged up.
They're
banged up pretty bad, but I still think somewhere they'll make a push at the Cardinals.
The one thing the Cardinals really can't afford to have happen, seriously, is the fact that they make it's too easy. Because you don't want to go – you want to go in with the eye of the tiger into the playoffs. And in years past, teams that have had a big lead, have kind of cruised into that last week of the season, have been eliminated in the first round. And that's the concern I really have. Not that the Cardinals have won it yet, they haven't, but certainly there's an edge to a team that has to battle every day just to get into the playoffs.
And this has really been a trend in baseball specifically for over a decade now.
The wild card teams, the teams
that are pushing in September, you don't see it in other sports. No. I mean, more time you get upsets every once in a while in the NFL playoffs, it happens, but more times than not, it's either a one or a two seed that makes it into the Super Bowl.
But and the difference is it's the day in, day out, every day type schedule that Major League Baseball has. You know, your backs are to the wall. Well, we did it yesterday, we can do it again today.
And baseball's such a pressure game too. When a player knows, when they got a 10-game lead in September that there's not the same amount of emphasis and pressure on the AB. And I think that's what's made the Cardinals so great is that run they made to get into the playoffs in 2011. It's like all those guys just take that approach into every game now. And it's one of those things that's easy to say. I don't know how they manage to do it day in, day out. Well, they just grind every single inning of every single game. Like last night, they didn't really play well. I'm sure they got in late into Atlanta, as the case would be, playing a night game before, and they never gave up. They just kept battling, scratching, clawing. Came up short. That's going to happen when you play 162. Sure. You're going to lose your handful of games, but they never give up.
And Atlanta's a pretty good ball club.
Yeah. Well, Atlanta's a very good ball club. Let's not make any mistake there. Wainwright didn't have a good game. The offense didn't have a good game. But you can't blame it on fatigue or anything, but traditionally Cardinals sometimes on a game that opens up a road series, they don't play very well, and that's most teams don't.
The Cardinals do seem to lose game one of a series and then come back and win the final two quite frequently. I don't know what the actual numbers are, but it sure seems that a lot of times they lose game one and come back and win the next two. So we'll see what happens today.
For a laughingstock division as the Central was back in this year, the Central could have three teams in the playoffs.
They could, and see, I've always thought that was blown out of proportion by the. I even hate to say like the East Coast media because I hate that term and I think it's ridiculous. But think everyone always likes to bash the Central. Think about the Central. They've had more playoff teams and more World Series representatives than any of the other divisions in Major League Baseball. The Cardinals and Astros there for a while. They were battling in the playoffs every year to go to the World Series.
Yeah, and then you had the Brewers there for two or three years.
What's the National League East done in the postseason recently? The Phillies had that run, but they haven't done much recently. No. They're old.
Braves used to win the division every year, but choke.
And choke.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the National League Central, while the bottom is bad.
Right.
But historically, the top of the National League Central has been very good.
Well, it's such a grind-out type of mentality in the Central Division. You don't have the flash.
And the Central Division a few years ago, guys, be realistic, outside of some years, the Cardinals had the rest of that division stunk. The Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
But there's always at least one or two teams, though, that have 92 to 95 wins.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, heck, even Houston was in it at the end not too long ago. They got swept by the White Sox, but they were in it.
It's good to see, if you're a baseball fan, it's good to see Houston's down now and really taking their lumps. But it's good to see teams like Kansas City. I looked in the paper this morning. They're only 7 games out of the lead. Well, 7 games is quite a bit. But that's a lot closer than Kansas City has been for a long time. You know, so it's good to see these other franchises, you know, have a decent year.
Look at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is probably one of the hottest teams going right now.
Well, they won 20 out of their last 22 games.
Well, they just need a baseball stadium now.
They're working on it.
They've been working on it from day one.
For a long time.
Yeah, when lawmakers get involved, it kind of screws up, puts a wrench in the system.
We're going to talk more baseball later in the hour. Earlier this week, Terry, you had a chance to have a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, a young man named Andrew Benning, who graduated of Lincolnwood High School. Andrew's working for the Giants, in the Giants organization. He's the athletic trainer for the Volcanoes, one of their lower-level minor league teams, and had a chance to catch up with Andrew and talk to him. So we've got about a five-minute spiel that we're gonna have later on in the hour. Coming up after the break, I think we're going to talk with Tim Gould, who is now the women's soccer coach at Blackburn College, stepping down from his coaching position at Carlinville High School. So a new challenge for Tim. And of course, we had Iden last week along with Dave Kane, and you know it was a neat show to have those guys in studio. And so it's an opportunity for Tim to put his stamp on that soccer program. So we'll see how it goes. So
we will have Tim Gould coming up after these messages on Sports Saturday.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And at 9:16, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky, and by Beasley's Welding Shop in Carlinville. Sunny skies for today. We'll have a high of around 73 degrees. Clear skies for tonight. We'll have a low of around 50. It'll be sunny for Sunday. Expect a high Sunday of around 75 degrees. Clear Sunday night with a low of around 55 degrees. At 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 66 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky, and by Beasley's Welding Shop in Carlinville. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Tired of always having to clean up the basement or crawl space after a rain? You need to call Midwest Basement Tech for a permanent solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, Midwest Basement Tech is the company to call. 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Call now, 1-800-848-9805, or on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons and your chance of receiving free tickets to watch your St. Louis Cardinals play at home this season.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:18, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
And thanks for joining us on WSMI Sports Saturday. I believe we have Tim Gould on the line with us. Good morning, Mr. Gould. How are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing great.
Gentlemen.
He must have the wrong number.
It can't be us.
Tim, congratulations on this new venture, and I guess just kind of give us your initial thoughts. I'm sure you're very excited to get things going.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, I guess on paper I haven't officially started maybe yet, but I've been plugging away, doing some last-minute scheduling and rearranging an office and getting some people on campus to come in this fall. So it's been a busy opening couple weeks here.
So, and for folks who maybe are not up to speed on things, Tim was the head soccer coach at Carlinville High School for both the boys and girls, now the head women's soccer coach at Blackburn College. So not only do you step up, obviously, a level as far as competition is concerned, but you also have a little bit different view of coaching now and what you can do as far as working with these young women.
Yeah, you know, I know that the way that I coach now is a lot different than 7 years ago coming right out of college. So I feel comfortable making this move, and I feel like we can, you know, push the program in a really positive direction.
Tim, I always thought you'd be the guy that would end up coaching soccer at the college level sometime. I really did. I really, you know, because you played college soccer, and you kind of had the mentality of a college soccer team to me.
Well, you know, I always kind of looked at, sometimes people get really tied into wins and losses and things like that, especially when you get to the competitive level, you know, club, high school, college. That wasn't always the major concern. I was, especially early on the season, just concerned about where we could get to, you know, and the style of soccer that we were playing, and if it matched our, you know, what we needed to do to win in the end.
I guess one of the neat things maybe about being a college coach will be you get to handpick your players. So are you looking forward to hitting the recruiting trail?
I am. You know, we obviously, men and women at Blackburn, we really want the high-end soccer players from our local area to really consider Blackburn. But we really want to make a big push towards the Metro East and, you know, even the Springfield area as well. So it's something I'm looking forward to. Instead of having 400 kids from one community, you know, we're going to be looking all over the place.
And really, Blackburn's situated in a great spot, you know, halfway between Springfield and the Metro East area, and the ability. There's an awful lot of good soccer players out there, and probably plenty to go around, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of the appeal should be that, you know, for players in the Springfield area, St. Louis area, we're an hour away from home. You know, we're close to home, but we're not home for them. You know, so I think there's an appeal to that, you know, and that's where I fit, coming from Highland, about an hour south. So,
Tim, do you think maybe with your ties here in the South Central and in the area, you think that'll work to your advantage in recruiting? I mean, people probably already know you or know of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of players in the South Central Conference, you know, the smaller schools that just kind of go unlooked. And still to this day, you know, they're starting to get some more looks, especially on the boys' side, but the girls' side really hasn't been that case. So there's a lot of very capable and talented players out there that could really help us.
As you step into the college level, what sort of adjustments will you make to the game, to the you know, will you do anything a little bit different as far as how you operate on the field?
You know, I don't think so. You know, I'm not going to change my demeanor or my personality as a coach necessarily, but, you know, tactically, I think we might be at a point where, you know, at a next level where maybe they can understand some more in-depth and more specific tactics maybe.
Will it be a bit weird for you to just be a coach and not necessarily teaching any educational classes?
Absolutely. You know, instead of seeing 90 different students maybe on a given day, you know, I'm going to be focusing on, you know, 15, 18, you know, young women, you know, in their grades. So it'll definitely be a change, and there'll be some things that you know, I'll definitely miss about teaching, but I'm excited for this change.
And, of course, Blackburn, with the fall schedule, soccer is it. You know, that's the big sport in the fall. So, really, that's your time to shine, and the attention is all on the game of soccer.
Yep, and, you know, there's, you know, a lot of new faces at Blackburn, even from when I was there about 10 years ago. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positive energy there. And I know Rob Steinkler is going to be the men's coach, and we're both definitely trying to put forth a real positive image and, you know, improve our programs.
Tim Gould, the new head women's soccer coach at Blackburn College, joining us on Sports Saturday. And, Tim, let's take a quick look back maybe to your time at Carlinville. And how would you assess your time in terms of developing the program from the time you arrived to today?
I think, you know, wins and trophies and all that kind of stuff speak for themselves. But I can just tell you that, you know, the style of play and the level of skills and, you know, knowledge of the game has just definitely gone up since, you know, I was there as an assistant, and I feel really good about that. You know, and someone who is going to have this job here hopefully in the next couple weeks is, you know, I think going to inherit a lot of talent and really hopefully be able to put their own stamp on the programs too.
I think when you were at Carlinville, Tim, you not only had great athletes, but you had athletes who understood the game of soccer. You know, as your program moved along and they were involved in club teams and other aspects to where they learned the game of soccer and anticipated much, much better on the field.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, I feel good about the steps that the programs at Carmel High School took, but really all around us, I saw improvement at all the local schools, you know, and a lot of that had to do with club soccer without question. You know, FC South Central, especially for the boys, having a high school team for the past couple of years has just made the style of soccer in our area a lot better, a lot more entertaining.
And it's great to be able to have access to an FC South Central type team locally where you don't have to travel so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, otherwise you're driving an hour to the Metro East, you're driving an hour to Springfield. Instead, these local kids, you know, could meet in one spot and practice and train and, you know, make each other better.
Tim, as far as the scheduling is concerned, are you still probably on task where you do a doubleheader most days with a men's game and a women's game?
Yes and no. We would kind of like that in the future. It cuts down on some costs and things like that. But, you know, I had some holes in my schedule this year in particular to fill. So we kind of go our own separate ways from the men a few times this year. All of our conference games, though, are men and women back-to-back. So that is pretty common. But I've added quite a few here in the last week or two that should help our program.
And just as nod to Aiden Gonaldson, the ex-soccer coach, he's got left you with a great facility at Blackburn.
Absolutely. You know, we've got four full-size practice fields, and there's still room off to the side of those fields. You know, we have a stadium field. The facilities have a lot to offer, and that's definitely something that Rob and I really want to showcase with our program.
And I always thought Blackburn would be a great spot to have a super sectional soccer game at the high school level. You know, I really do, because I think it'd just be neat for a small college to host that sort of venue.
It really would be. You know, and hopefully in the near future there are some lights and that might help land something like that too. But, you know, geographically we'd be a good fit for something like that too, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Tim, you're saying the practice facility and grounds were a little different than when you were there playing?
Well, when I was there, Blackburn still had football going on. So, you know, they had a large chunk of that practice.
They had most of it. Go ahead and say it. They had most of it.
Most of it, but then also some of it was still fields when I was there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the amount of space out there is just tremendous.
Are you going to have your special chair put in place for you to help coach? Because, you know, I know you like to sit down sometimes.
Well, what's funny is I haven't really carried around a chair very much because I seem to break my chairs.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, I've got a new chair, but it says Missouri on it, so I probably
won't
be taking it with me.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us. We wish you the best of luck, and let's plan on touching base throughout the season, see how things are going, and we hope that you're able to step into that program and certainly get it noticed and draw some of the local talent into the Blackburn College program, because that would be terrific. So good luck to you, my friend.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tim Gould, the Blackburn women's soccer coach, and that program will be fine. It's in good hands, definitely in good hands.
So. It'll be quite a challenge for him to step up from the high school level to one step up, you might say, to Carbondale College girls soccer. Be a challenge.
Well, and you know, anytime you go from a high school to a college and you're dealing with so many different things. Number one, sometimes it's the first time people, you know, student athletes have been away from home. And sometimes there's a settling in process that has to be taken care of. And then, you know, there's probably more practice time devoted to a college program, much more time than to a high school program, and yet you're still expected to carry your full load of academics and that sort of thing. So, you know,
it's a job.
It's a job. It really is. It's an adjustment. And you know, Tim's got such a good – when you look back and you asked him about his body work, he did a great job at Carlinville, Tim Eyes. He really did a great job at Carlinville. And I don't think he's going to have any problems getting people to notice the Blackburn program and making contacts around the area. He certainly has a good reputation. He's a solid coach. He knows his stuff. So,
and you put his resume together, Uncle Ralph, with the resume of Blackburn College.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've got
a
good reputation as well. So the two together, I mean, yeah, talent should not be an issue.
And no, and on the men's side, Rob Steinkuhler, it's taken over there. Rob's a great, it was a good player, and you know that the men's program's in good hands as well. So here's an opportunity for a small college in the middle of Illinois to really kind of put a stamp on itself to get itself noticed through their soccer program.
This is kind of an interesting time for soccer in this country.
It is.
You know, it's like it's right there on the surface. You know, it's trying to push through, and it gets its head out every once in a while, then it comes back in. So it's right there. The potential and opportunity for soccer to explode in America, I think it's close. I really do.
But I don't – you have to remember – let's put things in perspective. Soccer is never going to compete on the level with a Major League Baseball, National Football League, NBA.
See, you say that, though, but think about it, though, Terry. Think about what the NFL is doing right now. Think about football and all the safety concerns and everything that goes in with that. If all of a sudden kids aren't playing football.
Well, and you know, and that may be a game changer there.
You know, I'm talking potentially, you know, 15 years from now. You don't know what could happen.
Well, and the thing that needs to happen is, number one, you got to get a Major League franchise into the St. Louis area, for goodness sakes. If you're Major League Soccer, for God's sakes, you got to get an MLS team there. That's crazy to think that St. Louis doesn't have an MLS team.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know. I don't either. I mean, they've got – and, you know, they're going to have a stadium, a soccer-only stadium for probably.
That might be the problem.
You know, and that probably is the number one hitch in the get-along, so to speak. But there's probably enough college facilities around that could accommodate an MLS team right off the bat. And if that happens, and if you have key areas where it excels, you might see a bit of an explosion. Fortunately, you know, the World Cup comes along every 4 years, the Olympics come along, and as long as Team USA continues to do well, the chance for that explosion you talk about is still there. But, you know, when you're competing with baseball dollars, you're competing with the thing about it is, you know, that we talk about soccer moms and in politics, the soccer moms control the purses a lot of times.
It all rests on the national team, though, men's national team. Yeah. If they do well, and with Klinsmann as the coach, you know, they're starting to garner some attention. It's kind of getting rolling. I think people are getting to the point now where they want to like soccer.
There's no excuse not to.
There's no excuse not to. There used to be a stigma attached to soccer maybe 20 years ago to where...
Tim, I remember the last World Cup, and you were sitting back there, and you saw the offside call that was blown, and you were asking me about an offside call.
Yeah.
I'm going, I can't believe one of my coworkers is asking me whether or not that was a blown offside call. Oh, my God.
What's going on?
You know, and America was in uproar because they didn't. The offside call was blown. I'm going, wow, they've actually noticed this game. That's great. So
I just was going to say, guys, I think one of the things that maybe – will hold soccer back a little bit in the St. Louis area. I'm talking about major soccer is, you know, St. Louis is a relatively small market. You've got Cardinals, of course, they're number one, and you got the Rams, and professional basketball has never been able to flourish there. And you know, in the small market, I think the thing would be, is there enough dollars there to support everybody?
Here's the deal. A large soccer crowd can be 12,000 people.
Yeah, right.
You go, you know, and I've been to Bridgeview Toyota Stadium where the Chicago Fire play. 16,000 is what they hold. And, you know, that's a pretty pretty good-sized stadium.
And they do
and when
well
you get 16,000 people together for a soccer match, pretty
good,
fun time.
It's a good time.
Pretty
and,
fun
you know,
time.
And they do pretty well up there, don't they?
Oh, they draw well, yeah. The Fire, they're fun to watch. You know, and the neat thing about an MLS team is that they always involve the youth programs. They'll bring the players out, and they're always accompanied by youth players. The youth get to be out there at halftime. A lot of times they'll have a little mini game going. So, you know, they do their job, like much like what the Cardinals do with youth. MLS does a nice job.
Youth soccer, though, is probably the most played and most popular sport amongst little kids.
Sure.
You know, soccer and T-ball. That's what little kids play. And so I think it's getting to the point now where these little kids who are playing soccer, it used to be they got to a certain age, it was like, well, you have to basically
choose.
Society says you can't play soccer anymore. You know, that's essentially kind of the stigma that it had. But I think that has changed. And this is just my opinion. But I think as more kids continue to play soccer and concussions become the concern they are in football, kids don't play baseball anymore.
No.
You know, they just don't.
Tough.
The proof's in the pudding there. The numbers of kids playing baseball has been going down for a number of years. So to me, there's an opening for soccer to just kind of almost without people even realizing what has happened, for soccer to just kind of sneak it almost like an offside trap.
Yeah, there you go, just like an offside trap. And the thing about soccer is, and you know, and it's overcome the stigma that it's hard to understand. It's basketball without your hands.
Yeah.
It's basically the same set of plays, the same basic design of the game. You don't score 40 points a ball game, but you know, once you take the shot, what do? Well, you in basketball, you crash the boards. In soccer, you crash the goal. I mean, you're hoping for a rebound somewhere in there, or hoping for a crazy hop someplace. And, you know, it's the same, you know, spread the floor, spread the field, make good passes, move the ball from side to side because they're probably going to be playing a zone type defense. So, you know, it's the same basic principle. So if kids that play basketball play soccer, I think it's really an advantage for them.
It sounds like more like ice hockey.
Well, in a way, ice hockey is kind of like basketball. But the thing of it is, you don't have sticks in basketball or soccer.
Yeah. But you have offsides.
That's true.
You have,
and if you understand a blue line offside in hockey, you can understand offside in soccer because basically the blue line moves to where the last defender is on the offensive end. So that's.
And if you don't, another key to soccer and getting involved in soccer, Terry, you've been involved with soccer for a long time, but soccer is a game that if you're not involved in it and don't understand it and you just go to a soccer match and one team beats the other one to nothing, you're probably going to walk away and say, that's the dullest thing I was ever at.
You
have to understand the workings of the game to appreciate it.
I love a 1-0 baseball game.
Yeah,
I think that's
too.
A great game. I think it's a great ball game, 2-1.
I'd rather see it 1-0 than 10-9
Absolutely, anytime because, you know, I like crisp pitching. I like good pitching and good defense in baseball, and I like that in soccer too. I mean, it shouldn't be easy to score a goal, and in the South Central, of course, they've done a good job of getting soccer into the conference and promoting the soccer, and the South Central has gotten a lot stronger in their soccer program. So it's a program that's not going away.
It's a challenge.
It's not going away. That's for sure.
The key for St. Louis to get an MLS team lies with Stan Kroenke.
Yeah, you're probably right,
well,
Tobe. You're probably right. If he has the business wherewithal, which he probably does, you know, MLS will probably get a team in St. Louis.
Oh, he's a good businessman.
Well. I guess
there's rumors.
There's always room for dispute.
All the zeros in his bank account would suggest that he might know a little bit about what he's doing.
Just a little bit. So.
There's rumors that he's a fair businessman.
The initial evidence would suggest.
Well, let me put it to you this way. If you had say, 6 home soccer games a month during the MLS season, and you drew 12,000 people every night at packed house. Just think of the business you would be generating on ticket sales, concessions, parking, stuff like that, and they would be a lot cheaper than going to the Cardinal game.
Of course, the Rams have been going around and around with the city of St. Louis trying to get the dome upgraded, and kind of the speculation has been that basically the path it's headed towards is the Rams building an open-air stadium that basically Kroenke would finance himself, I think, with a little bit of assistance. I don't really know the details, but the point to this conversation being that potentially could be a place maybe where you could put an MLS team. It wouldn't be, it'd be a lot bigger than 16,000, obviously, yeah, but that would be an outdoor stadium, mm-hmm, natural grass in the St. Louis area.
Possibility.
And,
sure. You could shut off the upper deck.
Right, you're not going to draw 50,000-60,000 every night, but remember, they sold out Busch Stadium
in 10 minutes,
and they've got that game coming up in the Dome. I think that's already sold out. St. Louis is a huge soccer town.
Yeah, it is.
People love their soccer in St. Louis, and if they give them a good product, I mean, that if the Blues are good, sold out. If the Rams are good, sold out.
Right.
Cardinals are good, show out. You put an MLS team in St. Louis, that's good.
Yeah.
People will show up and watch it. They will.
One thing you have to give St. Louis credit for, the sports fans there are very dedicated to their teams. They go
as long as they win.
When they're good.
But
the St. Louis sports fan is extremely fickle. The Cardinals notwithstanding.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Rams, if you're not good, they're not coming.
Well, no,
the Blues, we saw it. If you're not good, they're not coming.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't win, that's WIN and MONEY.
There you go.
They go together.
Yes, they
do. Latest rumor on that was I think they're trying to work out something where the old Chrysler plant, that seems like
perfect place,
the target for a facility. And how that would work is the NFL has a grant that they normally provide teams to help with building new stadiums. They would patch into that. The city and the county would contribute some, and then Kroenke would contribute some.
Well, and in thinking about a soccer-only stadium, could you construct it and then convince the Missouri Athletic Association to hold their state tournament there? Could you convince the Valley to hold their conference tournament there?
Yep.
I mean, you don't have to just have it for MLS. You could use it for a lot of other things.
But a lot of these ducks would have to be put in a row before you started building, you know.
That's why people get paid big bucks, though.
It's
a lot funner just to spend other people's money.
That's what I like to do. It's always a lot more fun to spend other people's money.
It's real simple. You don't have to think about it. Just do it.
Like it's Saturday morning sports crow, they make those big bucks.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Do we have the boots on? Our boots on?
Hip
waders on here? It's getting a little high. Getting a little deep.
I also think it has to be retractable. Because if St. Louis wants to get the Final Four back, obviously the Ed's not going to cut it. You put retractable dome in, that opens it up for, I'm not saying Super Bowl, because I don't think St. Louis will ever get a Super Bowl. But it will open up for that possibility. It will open up for Final Fours, at least.
I'm all for retractable stadiums. We've talked about this before, that Major League Baseball should have made it
mandated in 1980 or 85 or whatever.
Any new stadium.
I thought the dumbest thing in the world was when Minnesota built a ball field and didn't put a roof on it. I could
they play
not
baseball
understand.
Outside and football inside.
And especially
I thought Bush
when been playing in the Humphrey Dome all these years.
I thought the Cardinals were dumb not to put a retractable stadium roof on it.
Right. But Minnesota's getting what they deserve.
Yeah.
You know, they deserve to have about 5 home games snowed out a year. That's just
Minnesota's
ridiculous.
Thing was, at the time when that stadium was built, Minnesota was, the state was actually on the verge of bankruptcy. So you take what you can get, and they, in order to save costs, they cut out the retractable roof.
And baseball.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Smart move.
Yeah, smart move.
So let's see. You lose 40,000 people over a span of a dozen games. That means there's no parking. There's no concessions.
I'm not sitting outside to watch a baseball game if it's 50 degrees, unless it's the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, I've done that a couple times. That's fine.
Yeah.
But in April? No, thanks.
I say building a stadium in Minnesota without a dome is kind of like taking a match and looking in your gas tank on your car to see if it's got any gas in there.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
No one told me that was a bad idea. You would have told me, I would have done it.
Yeah.
We need a break on Sports Saturday. Back with more in just a moment.
It's hot outside, but Farmer-Owned Prairie Farms ice cream is totally cool.
Prairie Farms ice cream in the half-gallon square carton comes in 12 different flavors, with seasonal favorites added every year. And for traditional richness of a premium quality ice cream, Prairie Farms also makes a dozen Old Recipe brand flavors. And don't forget the fabulous line of Prairie Farms sherbet for everyday family enjoyment. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
If you have an injury that keeps you from doing your job and you need rehabilitation, consider Teamwork Rehab. Our Litchfield location offers work hardening and conditioning, along with traditional physical and occupational therapy services. Our specialized services can transition you from patient to worker faster and safer. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Hospital with three locations, Litchfield, Hillsborough, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160.
Teamwork Rehab. Give them a call today, 532-4160, 532-4160.
And let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. We'll have a high of around 73 degrees. Clear skies for tonight with a low of around 50. Sunny skies for tomorrow. Expect a high Sunday of around 75 degrees. Clear skies for Sunday night with a low of around 55 degrees. Heading into Monday, partly sunny skies. Expect a high Monday night of around 78 degrees. A 70% chance of rain for Monday night with a low of around 65 degrees. At 9:45, we have a temperature reading of 67 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:46, let's head back to more Sports Saturday once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
We're talking baseball here on Sports Saturday, and to start off this segment, I had a chance to catch up with a Lincolnwood High School graduate who is now working for the San Francisco Giants. In fact, he has a ring.
Now, there you go.
But he's got the ring. His dad showed me a picture of the ring. It's Andrew Benning. Andrew, nice young man, and he's working his way through the ranks. He is the trainer for the Volcanoes. It's one of the minor league teams in the Giants organization, and he's doing his thing. And here's my talk with Andrew Benning.
I am. I'm with the team up there in Oregon, the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes.
How did you come about becoming the athletic trainer for the Volcanoes?
Most athletic trainers that want to work in baseball, especially pro baseball, have to go through an internship. They've got to get out there with a PBATS internship. And PBATS is like a professional baseball athletic trainer society. So you kind of get hooked up with either a big league team. Most of them do minor league teams because there's more of them. I did mine with the Cubs AA affiliate in Tennessee, the Tennessee Smokies. And the Cubs and the Giants kind of have a pretty good relationship with their medical staff. So since I did that, they put in a good word for me with the Giants and I ended up here.
I guess this was a bit of a promotion for you then to get to the Volcanoes.
Yep. I started off in the Asia, which is a rookie ball league down there in Arizona. We were based out of Scottsdale, and you just kind of play those teams that have a spring training team in Arizona. So I did that for a year, and this is my second year in Salem.
Tell me a little bit about how you became interested in this and the path that you took as far as your education is concerned to get where you are today.
I've always been into baseball, and during undergrad, I had an opportunity to go do my internship with with somebody that graduated from my school, and I loved it. Like, I went down there to Tennessee. I spent the whole summer down there and worked with those players, worked with him, and it was a great opportunity, and it was a great experience. And it was kind of, like, opened my eyes. Like, this is really something I could get into. I like how it all works. And it was just, it was a really good time. I really enjoyed myself. So then after I graduated, I went to grad school to work with the baseball team for a little more experience. Unfortunately, I went to grad school at University of Northern Iowa, who dropped their baseball team after I got there. Did get to work with a summer ball team in Iowa, the Waterloo Bucks, so I still got that baseball experience.
Your path, hopefully, will lead you to a major league ball club.
That's what everybody's striving for down here in minor leagues.
Tell me a little bit about a typical day. Let's say you have a ball game, and I assume most of your games are about 7, 7:30 at night, something like that. What's a typical day for an athletic trainer starting off early in the day?
Well, it depends on if we're home or away. If we're home, usually my day starts a little bit earlier. Usually if I got doctor's appointments or anything like that with the players, I try to schedule them for the morning time, but I get to the field sometime around noon, maybe before, depending on the guys I have that need treatments and need extra rehab. And then I'll structure my day kind of around what those guys need. So if I got to bring them in early, and I can give them one-on-one attention, so they'll get what they need from me. And then as it gets closer to game time, I'll just be working with those guys, trying to get them ready for the game. And then the game, and then post-game stuff.
Every once in a while, somebody will make a comment that ball player has a hangnail and that they should tough it out. But people forget how highly skilled baseball is. It's not an easy sport to play.
No, not at all. In fact, it's called the game of failures because, think about it, hit the ball 3 out of 10 times, you're getting to the Hall of Fame. It's a tough game. It's a grind. You're out there 150 games a year in the minor leagues. It's every day. It's not just once a week like in football or a couple of times a week like in basketball. It's every day they're out there, and it takes just as much stress on like the staff as it does the players.
Talk about the pounding that the players take as far as their bodies take.
Towards the end of the season, I mean, you'll start to see guys lose a lot of weight because they're out there every day, especially in a hot climate. It's hard to keep their weight where they want it. And then once their kind of weight starts to get down, their body starts to break down a little bit. You'll see more overuse injuries, like with pitchers and stuff. You'll see more arm, elbow injuries. With position players, you might see more knees, ankles, but even shoulders and them too, because they're making a lot of throws across the diamond or from the outfield. Most of the time, the manager is really good about stuff like that. He understands it's a grind. If a guy needs an extra day, he needs an extra day. That's not a huge issue. But, yeah, and so guys most of the time tell me what's going on, but since I'm with them so much and I understand how they go about things, like, I can usually tell. Like, I can watch them turn in and out or watch them run down the base and just, like, doesn't look right. Something's wrong.
Andrew, let's go back to spring training time. Do you get to hobnob with members of the San Francisco Giants?
Yep. I get to help out with a big league team during spring training. Absolutely. Guys up there are real professional. They're very humble. They're good guys.
And, you know, one of the neatest things Andrew gets to do is he gets to do a little BP once in a while and shag flies.
Nothing better than that.
Hey, I tell you what. You could spend your days doing worse things.
Yes, you could. And most of
I'm
us
very do. Envious of
and
him.
And most of us do.
And most of us do.
And most
yes.
of us do.
There's a young man doing what he likes to do. So, you know, I hope he gets it to the bigs. So that'd be great.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's no different than the players that he's treating down there. Yeah. They're trying to work their way through the system and eventually get to the show. And that's exactly what he hopes to do. Eventually be the head trainer for. And it won't necessarily have to be the San Francisco Giants. Those trainers, you know, they get up around there. Maybe they're an assistant trainer at AAA. You'll see another club come in and hire
him. And he mentioned before we started talking about how much cooperation there is between the Giants and the Cubs and a lot of those teams that have spring training facilities in Arizona. So, you know, and if you have a need, like baseball teams and players, if you have a need for a medical staff, well, they'll talk amongst themselves and see what they can do. So,
a baseball trainer is a busy, busy individual.
Oh, I tell you what, you got a roster, and you play 150 games like you mentioned, and at the minor league level, my gosh, just keeping these guys going. And he says their butts drag, and you know sometimes you just got to give them a day off.
You got 25 guys, you know, that you got to see about their well being, and any more, you know. You hear of all these ligament strains and ligament tears and stuff that 20 years ago, I guess the guys had them, but they just played through them. I don't know. But, boy, you sure see a lot of them just
Well, yeah, I think you have to go back further than 20 years ago, Ralph. But back, way back, prior to the big baseball money, prior to free agency. Okay?
Yeah, right. I guess.
That prior to the 70s.
Pre 1970.
Yeah, prior to Curt Flood bolting from, you know, early setting up the free agency thing. Players weren't worth that much as far as money is concerned.
No.
And there weren't multi-millions involved. Now, if you put it on a scale, compare dollars then to dollars here, it's, even now, it's huge money. And so if you have a player that's injured and you've invested several million dollars in him, by gosh, you're going to take care of him. And back then, hey, we got minor leagues. We'll just go grab another guy.
That's right. And if you have any doubt about that, think of Stan Musial, Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, $100,000.
Yeah.
Was big salary.
Oh, and that was absolutely huge and unheard of.
Oh, yes.
And then you look at a guy like a steroid cheat like Ryan Braun now, still going to get the hundred and whatever million dollars it is that he signed when he was on the road.
He's going to get $3 million less this year because that's what it's going to cost.
They were, yeah. They were far too lenient with him. He should have been banned from baseball as far as I'm
Well, that's A-Rod.
They'll say that for A-Rod. I agree with you, Uncle Ralph, but this, and again, this is just my opinion, but this is what I think the baseball had in mind with the Brian Braun thing. They needed to get somebody suspended. They needed to get one of those big-name guys on the chopping block to lend credibility to that biogenesis guy and just show everyone that they're not messing around. So I could see baseball doing something like going to Braun, showing them the evidence, like, we are going to suspend you the rest of this year and all of next year. This is going to happen. We're going to do it. We're going to announce it. Now, if you want to take the rest of this year and not appeal it, that will be that. Admit what you did and – we'll call it. That's what I think they did.
A plea bargain.
They basically plead him out.
Yeah.
What's happened. Now all these other guys are like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like if they got Braun, they're going to get us. Yeah. So I think it just kind of was the first duck in the row, so
whipping
to speak. The whipping boy.
Well,
that's going to be A-Rod.
Well, and the thing of it is, this was Bud Selig's team.
Yep.
I mean, this was the Brewers team that he used to run.
And Major League Baseball was never happy that he got off.
Yeah.
The first time with that failed test.
Yeah. The difference between Braun and A-Rod is this guy's in the twilight of his career, and this guy's right in his career. A-Rod, he's done. He's done. Stick a fork in him. He's done.
Well, now you look at it. Now it's come out that there's NBA players now involved, MMA fighters now involved.
How could Congress not investigate the National Football League for God's sakes?
My God.
People don't grow this like that.
Murdering each other.
You mean guys aren't supposed to be 6'7", 320, running a 4'5", 40?
No.
That's not natural?
That's not natural.
It's not?
And beating up on some girl that's 5'5", weighs 100 pounds?
No.
That's not right?
It's not? Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that happens outside of football. But
that's true.
It's
amazing, though, how people don't care about it in football. They just don't.
And, Tim, and let's put this all in perspective here. It happens in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't it happen in professional
sports?
And what you're talking about before earlier, Terry, with all the money now.
Yeah.
There's money to be made.
Sure.
So I mean the guys they're going to try to cheat the system to make the money. I mean, what's a person's reputation worth? You know, if you're Ryan Braun, you're thinking, boy, my reputation's worried. Boy, I got a lot of money.
I'm set.
I'll go buy a new reputation.
And go ahead, Ralph.
I was just going to say, and Braun will come back in spring training, and if he hits 300 next year, nobody remember what he was suspended for. Business as usual.
Well, they've already said that a couple of Milwaukee fans, I guess they had a home game not too long ago after this came about, and Braun's name ended up turning into fraud.
I saw that. That's funny. They tried to kick the lady out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Then they apologized.
They're nice up in Milwaukee like that.
Yeah. But that's the thing about Braun. It's all with any of these guys. A lot of guys have cheated, but it's the guys who have lied about the cheating who have become the pariahs.
Well,
you look at Andy Pettit and Jason Giambi.
Oh, sure.
They cheated. They didn't do anything different than Ryan Braun did, than Barry
Roger
Braun did, than Roger Clemens did. They all did the exact same thing, essentially. You know, who knows what they were taking and how much, but they owned what they did.
But there was always cheating in sports because of the spitballs and this.
Well, that's right.
I mean, you know.
But it's always the lying.
It's the lying that
always worse than the crime.
Pete Rose said in an interview.
Nixon.
That's
Watergate.
No, that's exactly right.
Watergate.
Pete Rose
brought down
said
the presidency
recently that his biggest regret was he didn't come out sooner because people always will forget or give you another chance.
Right. You want to talk about
who are you talking about?
Pete Rose. You want to talk about frauds? There's no bigger fraud than Pete Rose.
He did the unforgivable though. He bet.
Well, I understand that.
That goes beyond drugs.
But yeah. How many years did he deny, and then all of a sudden, you know what? I did.
Well, he's a fraud.
You know,
liar. He is. He's a liar and a cheat, and he's the perfect. He's another good example of. The lion is what really gets in trouble. And for Ryan Braun to stand there, ruined a man's life, sullied his reputation. He's going to get sued for that, I'm certain. You know, what did he say? He said, I would bet. I think he swore on his mother's life or his own life.
Yeah.
That substance, there's no way it could have entered my body. No way. Couldn't have happened.
But the bottom line is, most of them.
That's right. You peed in a cup and somebody put it in there, right, to set you up.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, alrighty.
Hey, logical. What's Usain Bolt's clean? Keep it that way.
Yeah. it's the world we live in now.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Thanks to Tim Gould, Andrew Benning for being our guest today.
Yes. We'll have Cardinal Baseball coming up at 1:10 this afternoon on AM 1540. Cardinals taking on the Atlanta Braves this afternoon, 1:10 on AM 1540. Sports Saturday is out of time. For Tobin Ott, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, I am Tim. This is WUSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.